What do? When you know what you're supposed to do, you know how to be healthy, and then all of a sudden, it's like something just takes over your brain. You watch yourself self-sabotage, and maybe you lose control over your food, and you're like, what the heck? Why am I doing this? I feel so frustrated. I feel so overwhelmed. I'm so angry. What do I do? How do I get out of this and really feel in my power with my food? Because I don't feel it. Welcome to the Mastering Mindfulness Institute with me, Gina Warfel, a podcast that invites you on a journey to self-trust with your food and body so you can reclaim your health with confidence. As a registered dietitian who has multiple degrees in health, and yet I was constantly at war with my body and couldn't trust myself with food, I've made it my mission to show you that coming into harmony with your food and body is all possible. I challenge conventional and outdated ways of dieting to show you how to step into sovereignty over your food choices and life. I can't wait to share with you the depths of my own journey, as well as thoughts from experts and real human beings on their journey, just like you. Thanks for listening. Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. Today I want to talk about, what do? When you know what you're supposed to do, you know how to be healthy, and then all of a sudden, it's like something just takes over your brain. You watch yourself self-sabotage, and maybe you lose control over your food, and you're like, what the heck? Why am I doing this? I feel so frustrated. I feel so overwhelmed. I'm so angry. What do I do? How do I get out of this and really feel in my power with my food? Because I don't feel it. And I really want to talk about this because it is coming up again and again and again in many conversations. I've had phone calls recently walking people through this process of what is happening. So I wanted to create a podcast that really explains and what is happening and how do we really move through this experience. And so this is really hard if you are early on in doing this kind of deeper work on your relationship with food. And so you start exploring it, you start have more awareness around those moments where maybe you don't feel completely in your power and you lose control. And it can be really frustrating when you have awareness of that. I understand this so deeply because I remember going through this experience myself and knowing, like, I know what to do. I have so much motivation 1 minute, and then all of a sudden it's like I lose all control and I don't have that willpower anymore. What the heck just happened? And I remember when I was in the thick of it in these early stages, learning about myself, learning about my relationship to food, really going through it and struggling. Let me tell you, it was a messy, messy time. Not only was I navigating a lot of feelings that my students are navigating, but I was trying to figure it out on my own. I didn't have a roadmap. I didn't have anyone to show me the way. So not only can this be a time that can be a little bit confusing as you're exploring your own relationship to your food, but I didn't even know what I was doing or what was happening. I didn't understand the science in my body and just really drowning in frustration. And I remember being at a retreat at this time and hearing someone across the room in conversation. And this woman said, "Awareness without action is suffering." And I like cranked my head across the room. And I was like, what did you just say? She said, awareness without action is suffering. And it hit me. And I was like, oh my gosh, all of these feelings that I have this like inner angst. I'm like, why can't I figure myself out? Why is this so hard for me? Why do I feel all of this pain and frustration? And I'm trying to out-motivate myself, but it's not working. And everything felt like tension and force. And that all of a sudden made so much sense. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is why I'm feeling so much frustration and so much pain right now, because I have a lot of awareness around what I should be doing. I have a lot of awareness around what I'm struggling with, which is these moments of where I lose control, but I'm not taking action to do something different, or I don't know how. And so I'm literally just stewing in my own suffering with the awareness. So that was a very big catalyst for me that was like, if I don't lean in and figure this out, if I don't really, really, truly figure this out, I'm going to continue to have awareness of everything that I don't like, and I'm just going to be drowning in my own suffering around it. And so my heart feels so deeply if you are in a place. I feel so deeply when people say, I need help. Like, I watch myself doing this. And I've had a couple of phone calls this week with people who are saying, I'm trying to hold it together, but I'm ready on the brink of like crying and just letting it all open and letting it all out. And I'm like, I hear you. I know what that feels like. When I was going through it, I had a really hard time even saying the words that I was struggling and being able to share that and just bottling it up and being so overwhelmed. So sharing these stories has been not easy for me because I know that, especially for other people, for me, these are the most intimate parts of ourselves. It's the most sacred. It's the deepest challenges, the places where we feel the most hurt, the most shame, the most judgment. What I felt so deeply being the health expert with all these degrees in health and then finding myself in this place of not being able to be in control and be in my power and wanting it so badly. How do I just feel more in my power, wanting it and desiring it so badly? And if I could just have more power, if I could have more willpower, then I would be successful. But that was actually what was keeping me stuck, because I was trying to get somewhere else and trying to achieve this power, and it never actually came by using that method. So I really want to share what's happening inside of our bodies and maybe give you the shortcut of the path of what actually got me movement and momentum to be able to work through this experience. So let's start off with the science. What is actually happening when we lose control, when we don't really understand what it is that's actually happening, when we're like, I know how to eat healthy, but I watch myself doing something different? And it comes down to the difference between, are we living in our minds or our bodies, and does our nervous system feel safe? So I've talked about this on other podcast episodes, but it's feeling really relevant today. And so you may have kind of heard this before. I think it's always important to learn again and again and again and again until we remove the judgment around the experience. This is something we have to keep reminding ourselves of. So if you've heard this for the first time, really let this sink in. When we lose control, and all of a sudden something takes over our brain, we grab a food, we lose control, we overeat, we self-sabotage, it's never because we don't have enough power. It's always because our nervous system needs safety. And this is a strategy that we learn from infancy. From an infant-like place, we want to learn, what do we need for survival, for comfort, for security? So when we're first born, that feeling of safety is everything, to know that we can get through the world. Our mushy baby brains don't need to think about anything else other than, how do I survive? Am I okay? Am I safe? Am I secure? So breastfeeding is the one thing that will make a baby feel safe. I'm fed. A baby is not in control of its food. It has no ability to control when is it going to be fed. And so being able to be fed is a way of feeling safe and secure and knowing and getting that reassurance. I'll have enough food. I'll be okay. I'll be safe. And so when a baby is not okay or needs that food, it will cry and say, I need food. I need this nourishment. I need safety. If you look at like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, the bottom foundational thing, the first thing that we need before we move up through the scale, is food. Food is our physiological need that keeps us safe and secure. Now, a lot of us want to bypass that. We want to go to self-love, community, health, self-actualization, to where we're reaching like our utmost enlightened potential, right? We want to just skip all of the grounded safety, our basic human needs, and get straight to like our highest potential. Let's make sure that our first needs are being met. And if they're not, if we don't feel safe and secure, food is one of the ways that we create safety and security. And even if you're a baby and you start crying, you might have a pacifier in your mouth. So that's like, I'm crying, I don't feel safe. A pacifier feels soothing and secure. Or even as you grow up through life, if you start crying and someone's like, here, have this food, have this candy, have this sucker. And you're like, oh, okay, like I'm fine. I feel good. I'm safe. I'm secure. My nervous system gets re-regulated again. So all throughout life, we learn this. Food is nervous system regulation. This isn't a bad thing. This is just a strategy that we use to be able to regulate our nervous systems and create safety. So one that is a strategy that we learn to use. Our loss of control isn't an identity thing. A lot of people will start to identify with, I'm the type of person who has no self-control. I'm an addict. I'm a sugar addict. I'm an overeater. I remember one of my clients saying to me, I said, you're not an overeater. You're just in survival. He said, oh no, I'm an overeater. Trust me, I'm an overeater. And I said, you're using overeating, you're using food as a strategy to calm down your stressed out nervous system. It's a strategy you are using. It's not an identity of who you are. And now we can see this in a whole nother light. Okay, this isn't who I am. It's not in my core DNA. This is just a strategy that I've learned to use probably since childhood. So one, we want to know that our behavior, this loss of control, is a way for us to create safety. So why do we maybe need that safety? Now let's talk about the difference between our mind and our body and what the different jobs are. So we're all born where our mind and our bodies are in harmony together. They're working together, but they have two different jobs. Our body is the truth. It senses everything immediately. So let's say if you go and you do a cold plunge, or you go outside in the winter and it's cold, and your body is perceiving that environment, the truth of the environment, and you get goosebumps, you will know, okay, this is the truth. If I get really hot and it's 100 degrees outside and I start sweating and my body is perceiving the heat, it's immediately adapting to my environment. If I eat food and I eat the right amount that I need, my stomach will interpret that information and it will feel a sensation of fullness and it will let my brain know we've had enough food to eat. This happens through so many different signals and processing where your body will eat the food and that information actually travels up the vagus nerve and gets processed in the limbic system of the brain. And then the brain reports to the body, we've had enough food, we're satisfied, we don't need any more. So the body is what really tells us truth. It's where we have our feelings. We feel physical things as well. Like if you feel hurt, if you get a scratch and you're like, oh my gosh, that's hot. Or you touch a hot stove and you're like, that feels hot. It gives you that immediate feedback, that truth. So we feel physical pain in our bodies. We also feel emotions in our bodies. We might feel happiness, sadness, fear. You notice that if you're living in your body and you start to feel scared, your body will start to adapt, right? Your heart starts racing. You might start sweating. You get a contraction. You get anxious. So our feelings are in our bodies. Our physical sensations are in our bodies. Our hunger, our fullness. Our bodies are the truth. Our mind is designed to keep us safe. So our mind, our brain is like a storage house of information. You can think of it as like files in storage. And so as you go through life, it's going to collect data and information on what happened. And its job, it's kind of like the risk analysis. How do I keep you safe? So it's going to predict what is going to happen in the future to try to keep you safe. So the mind's job, remember, is safety. So if we live in our bodies, I don't want to say live in our bodies, that can be confusing, but if you have awareness of your body where you're like, yes, I feel my feelings, I feel physical sensations, I feel my hunger and my fullness, you're going to get an accurate read of the truth. But if your awareness has moved up inside of your mind and not in your body, now you're living in safety mechanisms and protection. So what happens is when you're in this protective state, it's hard to properly sense your hunger and fullness. The signals get distorted and you'll start to interpret more cravings and it won't be a proper read on your hunger and fullness. And because the brain is designed for protection, you're probably going to crave excess calories and sugar when your awareness is in your mind because that's a protective thing. It keeps you full and satisfied. So why do we move our awareness between our mind and our bodies? Like where does our awareness actually go? Well, when we're born and our bodies feel safe, we have a healthy, harmonious relationship. Our mind helps us by keeping us safe. You burn your hand on the stove, our brain is like, the stove is hot, let's be careful, let's not do that again. That's an important thing to predict to keep us safe. But our bodies also tell us important, truthful information on, like, am I actually hungry? Am I full? What is really happening here? And so there's harmony between the two of the truth and then safety. But if at any point you didn't feel safe in your body, let's say you've had physical abuse in your life, maybe actually physically, where you felt pain in your body and it hurt to be inside of your body, or emotional abuse, where your parents didn't make you feel safe in your feelings, whether you actually had emotional verbal abuse, or you were neglected, or you were told that your feelings were bad and you were going to get in trouble if you felt your feelings, and now you have this fear around your feelings, or if you have had any traumatic experience, physical trauma, sexual trauma, anything that makes it too unbearable to have awareness of your body, then what happens is you'll move your awareness from your body up into your mind in order to protect you, to keep you safe. So from that protection, it's like our mind wants to keep us safe from the experience that we had in our bodies because it became too much to bear, too uncomfortable. We didn't have the capacity to experience life inside of our bodies. And so the body kind of becomes the enemy because the feelings were too intense. Either the feelings were too intense or emotions, physically, any living life inside of the body may have actually felt like too intense of an experience. So we retreat our awareness up into our mind for safety. And it's really sweet that the mind wants to protect us from our bodies, but our bodies are still here. And so it's like the body then becomes disconnected. The psychologist Alexander Lowen, he calls this the mind-body split, where you're no longer in harmony. You like disconnect and you kind of go in opposite directions. And so what will end up happening is your body almost creates this like numbness. You might feel empty. And at that point, it might even be hard to feel your good feelings or, you know, the bad ones like sadness or worries or fear or any kind of feeling. You might just feel empty and disconnected and numb. And so your awareness moves up inside of your mind. And remember that your mind's job is not to properly perceive hunger and fullness. Your mind's job is to keep you safe. So when you're living in your mind, you're going to have increased sugar cravings. You're going to have an increased appetite and an increased drive for food. And this isn't even just an idea. On a physiological level, when you're in a stressed nervous system state, your brain activity is disconnected in that part of the limbic system that processes how much food you've ate. So you don't feel that. You're not getting that information from your body that you've had enough food to eat. So you'll eat food, but you still feel this insatiable hunger. Nothing hits that satisfaction spot. So you might be wondering, like, why do I feel this like pit of nothing is hitting really the spot? And it's because your nervous system has actually disconnected that processing in your brain. So this is really important to know. If we want to heal binge eating disorder, overeating, losing self-control, it's not about controlling the food. It's about shifting your body's physiology. On a physiological level, we need to re-regulate and create safety in the nervous system so your brain can actually properly perceive, did I eat enough food and feel satisfied? Otherwise, that center in your brain won't be receiving the information and it will just feel like this endless pull and need to hit that spot. So when you're in a safety state, like a survival mechanism type state, remember, your body will use food to create safety and security and grounding for the nervous system. So this is a really beautiful survival strategy. When I go into a state of fight or flight, my nervous system is using food to create safety. However, if I don't have awareness, if I'm not living in my body and I'm only living in my mind, it will feel like nothing is quite hitting that spot because I'm not getting that information from my body that I've had enough food to eat because my brain is trying to protect me from my body. So when this split happens and you're living inside of your mind instead of being in harmony with your body, if we try to take away the food and the behavior, we end up losing our sense of security during a time when we might really need security. And that's why it might feel extremely painful, extremely difficult, and like, why can't I do this? It can feel very, very, very hard and come with a lot of judgment. And it's because you're needing that security to calm the nervous system. If you take away the food, your nervous system might be really activated and feel really not safe. So our approach is not that we want to get to the place of like, how do I just stop this behavior? I want you to first think about the behavior, the losing control, as the symptom, not the problem. And this is a whole new perspective. When you're deep in it, you're like, my loss of control is the problem. Why am I doing this? I need to stop that problem. If you pick yourself up out of the weeds and you look at everything high level, like a bird's eye view, you can see, wait a second, my loss of control over the food isn't the problem. That's my strategy to cope with whatever I'm feeling and what I think my challenge really is. So I remember when I couldn't figure this out, I thought, you know what? Solving my problem must be to avoid all the foods that are a trigger for me. So I'd leave out that food. I'd leave out that food. I'd stop buying this food. I'd stop buying this food until I was down to like 5 foods in my house. But then I would still lose control on foods that didn't even taste good. So it clearly actually wasn't about the food. It was like my nervous system deeply needed to feel safe. But I didn't see that. I didn't understand the science and the mechanisms of that. So I kept blaming the food, blaming my lack of willpower, getting stuck in these loops. It's not your lack of willpower, and it's not actually even the food. If you're in this state, you can know you could probably lose control on any food out there, even if it doesn't even taste that great. So the first thing that we really want to focus on is seeing this in a different perspective. The food behavior is not the problem. It's just a symptom that my nervous system really needs safety and security. So what I want you to do is to have the courage to let yourself be in a process, like in a experience that you're having. Let yourself be messy. Giving ourselves permission to be in a long, beautiful healing journey is what actually makes for something really meaningful and really deep in the way that we really find what we're really looking for. If we try to get somewhere else, which is what we normally do, I think that the number one thing people will say is, I don't want to be in my current experience. How do I get over it? How do I get through it? And I actually remember this. When I was in Costa Rica, this is so funny. I forgot that this actually happened to me. When I was in Costa Rica and I was working with their shamans there, I was like, I'm so close to getting through this. It was really, really hard. We had this whole night-long ceremony until the morning, and it was one of the most physically challenging things I've ever done. I was feeling all my emotions. I was going through all these physical challenges. And I rarely in these experiences ask for help. And I was at this breaking point where I was like, I just want to feel better. I just want to get through this. I know I can get over this hump. I know I can get past this human experience of where like I don't feel well and I'm tired and I'm feeling these emotions. I just want to get past it and feel joy and bliss. And I couldn't get over it. And so I asked for help. I was like, can somebody help me? And one of the helpers, the staff came over and she's like, what do you need? And I was like, I'm so close to getting through this, my humanness, this human mess, this like these emotions and my pain and my suffering. I'm so close to getting over it. Can you help me just jump to the other side? And she said what I did not expect at all. She said, I want you to go more human. I want you to go into your suffering. I want you to feel what you're feeling. Go into what, you know, I was feeling so nauseous. And she's like, go into your nausea. Go into your tiredness. What does it want you to know? What does it want to teach you? I don't want you to run from your humanness and get somewhere else. Stop fearing it. go inside of it. And I was like, oh my gosh, she's right. And I like turned, it was almost like, you know, the buffalo turning into the storm. And it was like, stop running from it because it's holding its power from you. You want to be somewhere else. You want to be in joy and you want to be in bliss and you want to get to the other side. You want to escape your human experience, but go inside of it. And that's where you're going to find all of your answers, is to stop trying to be somewhere different and go more inside of your own experience. Be in your human experience, your pain, your suffering, your sadness, and really feel it and get so intimate with it. And what does it want you to know? That changed so much for me. Then I was able to actually sink in deeper into just what was here instead of focusing on, oh, I'm suffering, I need to be somewhere different. I could actually sink in and learn the lessons of what needed to be learned and felt and what was really here. So our loss of control isn't the problem. It's actually our compass. It's guiding us into telling us, when does my nervous system not feel safe? When is there a deeper stress? And when do I need something to help me move through that? Or where does my heart need help? Where does this part of me that maybe still feels anxious or feels scared? Or what is really happening? So if we overcome the problem, if we overcome this loss of control and we willpower our way through and we leave the foods out of the house and we tape our mouth shut and we put chains on our wrists and we don't let ourselves eat the food, we actually miss this really important signal that tells us, go inside, go deeper, be more human, learn what your body has to tell you, why your nervous system doesn't feel safe. Now we can actually start creating healing from the deep, deep roots, the deep places in our hearts, in our psyche, instead of forever trying to battle, don't eat the food, don't have this behavior. Because if you battle that, you are going head to head with your body's own survival mechanisms in this state. And guess what usually loses? Your willpower usually loses over your body's survival instincts. It's like, we need food to create grounding, safety, security. It's okay to need safety and security. Something that really helped me was once I had this awareness to just say, it's okay that I'm not through this yet. It's okay that I'm still struggling with this, even though it's hard. What I know is that my capacity to be in my experience I've exceeded my capacity. So I now need food to help me through this difficult experience. As my heart receives the healing that it needs and my capacity becomes greater, and my nervous system gets regulated, I won't need the food to create the safety and security. And it kind of, it all gently softens on its own. So even though we want to go somewhere else, we want to get over this hump, we want to move through it faster, we want to slow down and say, what do I need to just be learning? What is this behavior teaching me about where I'm still hurting, about why my nervous system doesn't feel safe yet? Maybe I've had past emotional pain or past trauma, physical trauma, emotional trauma, abandonment, a parent leaving, a parent passing, a parent being abusive, a partner, a sibling, a coach, a teacher, somebody in your life or something or a situation or a circumstance where being in my body didn't feel safe physically, emotionally. And I'm working on creating that safety again. So one thing that is very important here is to know that this can be a very slow process. There is no rush. If you've maybe had 20, 30 years of not feeling safe in your body, 10 years, I don't know, a year, it might take time to create trust in your feelings, especially because our society is kind of primed to say that feelings are bad, right? If you're crying, you might actually go to time out and get punished for feeling sadness. So if you have it deep in your brain, sadness is so bad, I will be punished and isolated and put into timeout, I will be put alone. That is a terrifying thing for a child. So you might be terrified of your own feelings of sadness. Now, if sadness comes up, I might need food to regulate my body to say, it's okay, we feel better, we feel better, we don't feel sad. So the healing might come through, it's okay to feel sad, it's okay to feel this way. It's okay for me to feel this way. And then it's like, okay, oh, my nervous system feels safe in feeling, which feels really difficult. It takes a lot of practice because when you're feeling those feelings, but you've been programmed that the feelings are bad, it's going to feel wrong and it's going to feel uncomfortable. So as you're doing this, one, it's important to go slow. Two, if you need psychological help, this does not replace psychological help or mental health. Please, if you have trauma, please absolutely get the support that you need. Work with somebody. You don't have to go with this alone. I want to make sure that I can't emphasize this enough. It is so, so important. In Mastering Mindfulness, we never focus on taking away the food because that can create this trigger and this lack of safety. That is why people rebound, because if your nervous system doesn't feel safe and now you say, now you can't have the food, restrict it because it's bad for you, and your nervous system doesn't feel safe and now your brain takes over, your nervous system takes over and you lose control and you eat again, but then you feel shame and judgment because you weren't supposed to do that. It doesn't work. What we focus on is creating safety in the body first, bridging the mind and body and creating safety to be able to come into the body again. And for everyone, this process looks different. For some people, they can almost instantly reconnect that mind and body and feel that safety. For some people, it can be a gentle process over months to years. And there's no rush. There's no timeline. We bring it all together into harmony as we feel ready. And as we feel ready to find safety being in our bodies again, it's really important to actually be in a physically and emotionally safe environment to be able to do that. If you're in an environment that's not actually safe, you're with a partner who is verbally abusive, physically abusive, if you're in an environment that doesn't actually feel safe, you might be in a place where you're needing that food to create the safety for you. And I want to emphasize getting that safe environment first. Don't worry about, oh, I need to fix my health and my da-da-da. No, you need to get into a safe environment first. Put yourself into safety. If you've had a traumatic experience or you've had a difficult experience growing up or a lot of emotions and you feel disconnected from your body, there's an opportunity to create that, restore that nervous system safety in your body, and then trust that, don't worry, the food behaviors will soften on their own as you're feeling safe. So there's no rush for this. There's no timeline on this. But sometimes we really want to like get to being somewhere else, and it's okay to just be here. When we go into a place of judgment, why do I always do this? Why do you, why? How do I get somewhere else? It actually keeps us stuck and it keeps us avoiding from just feeling what is here. If you're constantly like, why am I always doing that? Why da 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 da? It's a very good distraction. It can keep you distracted from actually just being like, my experience is valid. What do I need to be feeling right now? What is coming up for me? What does my nervous system really need? Ah, now we can kind of just relax when we honor ourselves and say, this experience is valid. What I'm feeling is valid. I don't need to justify, is it right, is it wrong? I can just feel whatever I'm experiencing. And now we create the spaciousness to hold a space of like love for ourselves while we're experiencing the difficult feelings that are coming up. And as we start to repattern that it's safe to be in my body again, now our actual hunger starts coming back online. Our mind doesn't have to control so much and protect us and keep us safe. The nervous system can kind of relax. If I feel comfortable in just being like, I feel sad today, then my nervous system isn't freaking out and needing to have food to create safety in my sadness. I can actually just feel sadness. So it's interesting to see that before, when I labeled my anxiety as bad, anxiety was a big trigger for me of losing control. Now I check in, and if I have a day that I'm like, yeah, there's some anxiousness here today, I wonder how I can support myself. It's not crippling. It doesn't completely make me fall apart. It's okay. I wonder if I can be with anxiousness today. What's interesting is changing that relationship really deep in my mind, like really deeply believing it and feeling it and allowing it and practicing it. I don't actually get food cravings with anxiety anymore. I don't even think about food. And so this was so, so healing for me to create self-trust in knowing that it's just changing my relationship to being inside of my body. And if I'm not ready to yet, it's okay. There's no hurry. It can be a process. It can take time. For most of my students, it takes about a year to really create that self-trust. Truly, like, and everyone's different. Some people see really beautiful experiences around like 6 months, and some people need like 3 years. But if you've had, let's say, many years of dieting roller coasters, self-sabotaging, not trusting yourself with food, I can probably have memories of not feeling anxiousness around food, you know, back to middle school. And so if I can invest a few years to say, I'm just learning about my body and how to create safety for myself, that's okay if I'm messy. It will absolutely pay off. A year, 2 years is not that long of time. So I hope that this gave you more compassion, more understanding, more empowerment. I hope you really truly feel empowered in your behavior, that this is a strategy to help you calm your nervous system and create safety. It's a strategy that you're using. Be curious with it. Bring in so much love and compassion, especially if you've been through a lot, that this might need time. And remember that the loss of control isn't the problem. It's a symptom and it's a teacher. It's actually this beautiful teacher that's letting you know, I'm not feeling safe. I need something to help me to create safety and grounding. So be so gentle and patient with yourself. If you want to learn and go deeper with us, this is what we do in the Mastering Mindfulness Institute. I don't believe in creating more triggers and more lack of safety in the body. I really believe in finding those places of where can we create more harmony? Where can we bridge that gap between mind and body and create safety? Again, this is not replacement for psychological treatment. But if you're feeling like you're in a place where you want to explore that and create more self-trust, this is what we do. Everything that I share in Mastering Mindfulness is, one, it's founded in science. How does our bodies work, our brain work, our nervous system work? I really believe in using science as a foundation, but also what really helped me. Everything that I share and teach was something that was like, wow, this was such a valuable core component to me healing that relationship with myself and my body and feeling self-trust. We don't have to force away cravings. We don't have to willpower them away. We don't have to punish ourselves into it. We need gentleness and understanding and listening and compassion and patience. And then everything does come into harmony with ourselves. I don't believe that health should have to be forced. We shouldn't have to be restricted. We shouldn't have to suffer. It can be full of love. And when it's not, when it feels like those places of inner friction, I want to encourage you to have the strength and the courage to be able to explore those deeper parts and get help if you need help. It's hard to do it on our own when we're so deep in it. It's helpful to have somebody who can help give you that high level view, a bird's eye view of what's really going on. So I hope you found more love and compassion and some next steps to be where you are and explore your experience without judgment, with love and curiosity. So I hope this was helpful, and I'll see you guys next time.